Got sound? All right. I trust everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see. Yep. It's Thanksgiving starts off fun part of the year. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. We'll start there. We're still talking about the imagination. Last time we were together, we went to Joshua and showed you how important the imagination was. The imagination, God would not move any further with Joshua until Joshua saw the children of Israel taking over Jericho. So the imagination is very important. And we have to learn to use our imagination to paint pictures for us about what God wants for us. God gave us our imagination so that we can better understand how he operates. And so we must give the Holy Spirit a chance to enhance our imagination so that we can develop pictures, develop scenery to go places where God wants us to go even before we get there. So we see in 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter, and let's start at the third verse. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I find it funny where Paul says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal has something to do with the mind. So that means, watch this. So that means when Paul said the weapons of warfare are not carnal, that means that our imagination could become supernatural. Our imagination can be used to help us understand the supernatural. So we can't, because watch this now, our carnal mind without, a carnal mind is nothing more than a mind operating without God. But when we involve God with our thoughts, we involve God with our thinking process, our mind can no longer be carnal. Isaiah 1:18, he said, come let us what? Reason together. All right, come let us think together. So now if God is thinking, if I'm letting my thoughts and my mind commingle with God's thoughts and his mind, that means that I cannot be dealing with carnality anymore. I'm dealing with supernatural. All right. So here it is. Paul said in this fourth verse, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. For a few moments tonight, I want to deal with negative imaginations, because your imagination can be negative or it can be positive. Now, whatever your mind or your imagination projects is what will happen. Whatever your mind projects is what will happen. So it takes effort on your part that you're going to have to guard your thoughts, guard your imagination, and you cannot let anything come give you a picture outside of what God has designed for you. One of the things we talked about earlier, if Satan ever tells you something, you can automatically note, it's very easy, take the opposite. Because Satan is a liar. So whatever he says, listen to the internet, whatever he says, you take the opposite of it. So if Satan comes try to paint a picture in your mind of something that you don't want, you can automatically take the opposite of that and begin to create another imagination. You can begin to create another picture. Of course, hindsight is 20/20. We learn from the mistakes of others. So we can learn from the mistake that Adam and Eve made. when Satan came and told him that lie, all that he do is take the opposite. Oh, you're not going to die. You sure you're not going to die if he did. Oh, Satan, you a liar. If I do eat this, that means I am going to die. So that means I'm not going to eat this. So therefore, when Satan comes in and try to create, gives you, not just Satan, but Satan uses people to tell you what you're not going to do, to tell you what you're not capable of. They tell you what's not going to happen. They tell you how this is not going to happen, how you're never going to get this, how you're never going to achieve this. And if you entertain those thoughts, you begin to create an imagination that would lead to that. Negative imaginations, you have to deal with them. A negative self-image comes from the imagination being programmed the wrong way. So we have to take time to program our imagination the right way. This is why the Word of God is so important. This is why a daily regimen of reading the Word of God is so important. Because the Word of God is helping to shape your imagination. Romans 12 and 2, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You can easily be conformed to this world. Don't take no effort to be conformed to this world. All you got to do is open your eyes and just move around, and you're going to start getting information fed to you that will conform you to this world. But the Bible says, be transformed, meaning I have to take the Word of God and begin to program my imagination. Listen to that, Internet. Program my imagination so that I can begin to create pictures of what God has told me and has promised me, what God has planned for me. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil. Not of evil, negative thoughts, not of evil, but to give you an expected end. So the Word of God is the thing that helps us create the proper pictures or the proper imagination so we can see the proper pictures. The Bible called negative imagination strongholds. So we just finished reading that we have to cast down every imagination. Look in that fourth verse. Watch this. Look in that fourth verse again. Right before he got to that, what he said. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Then it's a semicolon. Because then it says, how will I do that? By casting down every imagination, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So if I ever get information, listen to me, if I ever get information that tries to say something that the Word of God is not saying, I can automatically grab it. I never forget, Wyatt Brown, years ago, we was at in our old site years ago, a guy by the name of Wyatt Brown came and ministered, and he talked about you have to handcuff your thoughts. Handcuff them all, every last one of them. They have to go through what I like to call the word check. Now, this is why the Bible talks about you have to hide the word in your heart. When you hide the word in your heart, that means you don't have to quickly run to the Bible for reference. When you hide that word of God in your heart, that's why when you renew your mind, on a daily basis, you're taking a daily regimen of reading the Word of God so you can get a picture of what God called you to be, so you can get a picture of who God designed you to be, how God created man, what God created man to do, what he means dominion, what it means kingdom, what all these things mean. And it begins to create a picture so that whenever anything comes up that tries to compete with what God is saying, you can automatically grab this and know to eliminate it. You can automate anything that comes as contrary to the Word of God, you can take it and eliminate it. Watch this. Disobedience and negative actions are driven by the outcome people imagine. So this is why I have such an issue with the grace, hyper-grace message, with the grace message and the way it's being taught that we have no responsibility. Because Every sin that is committed started off as a thought that has been acted on. So if every evil that is that's happened in the world, everything that is against God's will that's happened in the world started off as a thought, as an imagination that somebody has acted out on. So we have to, everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, everything, every imagination, everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, I have to contain it and get rid of it. Whatever the mind projects is what you will get. So if your mind, if you're full of negative imaginations, I never forget, I was walking out of the mall. Matter of fact, it was last Christmas season. I was walking out of the mall. And, you know, you got to mind your own business. You can't get in people's business. You got to mind your own business. And I walked out the mall and I seen this young lady. She was young. She had a son, probably. I've been dealing with him all day. I'm not sure if she was single or whatever, but obviously she was frustrated. And I could tell with the way she was talking to him, this wasn't the first time she talked to him. The boy might have been no more than 4 or 5 years old. And she went on this tirade. Started using, you know, the big words, the big four-letter words, you know, you ain't gonna beat. You're bad, blankety, 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 blank. And so what is she doing? She is creating negative imaginations for him. So if he grows up saying, I ain't gonna never be, I ain't nothing, then when it's time for him to act on these things, he's only acting from the pictures that has been given him. Whatever the mind projects is what will happen. The more the strongholds in imagination are backed up by memories of negative events, the harder life becomes. So in other words, if you allow those negative thoughts, if you allow those negative imaginations to remain without, see, you can't ignore negative imaginations. You can't ignore negative information. As soon as negative information, negative imaginations try to rise up in your mind, you have to speak against it and say the exact opposite, because you cannot ignore it. You know, we men do this a lot. Those that watch my energy know this. We have a tendency to ignore pains in our bodies. Why? Because we don't want to go to the doctor. We don't want to go get it checked. So we ignore pain. But yet we don't realize that pain is trying to give us an indication something ain't operating right. But if we tend to ignore it, then all of a sudden symptoms begin to come up, and now we got to do more to get rid of the particular ailment than we had to do if we wouldn't ignore the pain. That's what negative imagination, negative thoughts do. If you don't speak to them and you don't deal with them and you let them grow and fester, they will show up at a later time in your life and you didn't even realize that you had not dealt with them. Now, mind you, now remember that this is not psychology. This is not mind over matter. We're talking about the imagination. We're not talking about mind over matter. We're talking about putting ourselves in a position that when God does speak to us, we can receive it and act on it. If your mind is not renewed, go to Romans 12 chapter. I want you to see this. I know I showed you this, but it's good to go over this again, because this has to become revelation to you. This has to become revelation to you. If this did not become revelation to you, then when God speaks to you, it's going to go in one ear and out of the other. The B part of that, Romans 12 and 2. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The reason for renewing your mind is not that your mind is going to make it happen, but your mind becomes the fertile soil for God to plant his seeds of instructions in. Hope that made sense. If your mind does not become fertile soil, how does it become fertile soil? Fertile soil contains all the nutrients, all the necessary pH balance for proper growth of plants. So whenever somebody's planting or they're getting their garden ready, they want to make sure the pH balance is right, make sure the ground not too acidic or not too base. Then they want to make sure that they have the right nutrients in the ground. Why? So when you come back and plant that seed, growth takes place. Well, it's the same thing. The Word of God is the incorruptible seed. The Word of God is the incorruptible seed. And so when the incorruptible seed is planted in your mind and your mind is not fertile to the incorruptible seed, then the seed is going to lie dormant and not do anything. What I mean by not doing anything, you won't act on God's instructions. Why? Because your mind is not conditioned to realize what's supposed to happen. God did not give Joshua any solutions until Joshua's mind became fertile soil that this can happen. When his mind became fertile soil, God gave him planted the seed, his word of instructions into his mind. He was able to receive it and act on it and get results. That's why God told him, Joshua, I need you to see that I've given you Jericho. You need to see God giving you your results. You need to see God giving you your victory. You need to see God giving you triumph in your situation so that you imagine. There's nothing wrong with you daydreaming about God delivering you. There's nothing wrong about that. Because what it does, it begins to create your mind as a fertile soil. So when God gives you instructions, you're confident and you're trusting him and you're more apt to do what he's asking you to do. That brings results. Rather than you're not thinking about it, you're not expecting nothing to happen, you haven't imagined nothing, and God come along and tell you exactly what to do and you don't do it. Why? Because you don't believe nothing gonna happen. And so when you don't believe nothing gonna happen, God give you the very instructions, you're not gonna do them. Why? Because you don't believe. Why? Because you haven't been imagined. Because you don't expect anything different. So your mind has to become the fertile soil in which God plants his incorruptible seed. Satan does not want you to have a powerful imagination. It does not belong to him. He wants to own your imagination. That's why he comes with lies. That's why he always comes with the opposite. That's why whenever something happens in your life that you don't want to happen, that's why he's there to enhance it. He's there to tell you that was supposed to happen. Or he comes to tell you this is always going to happen. And you have to take the word of God and refute that because he cannot have your imagination. Satan has destroyed many lives because of one simple thing. He was able to tap into their imagination. Whatever God says about you, whenever something in your life doesn't happen the way it's supposed to be, you immediately need to take the word of God and find in the word of God what God says the opposite about you. And you begin to feed and make your mind fertile soil so that when God speaks to you, you have faith to move. You have energy to move. And you're convinced that something is going to change about your situation. The imagination is very important. Without your imagination, it's hard to walk in faith without your imagination. It's hard to operate in faith without the proper thoughts. It is impossible to walk in faith without the proper imagination. Because if you're not expecting anything, if you haven't been feeding yourself with the Word of God, if you don't believe what God has been doing, then how are you going to believe when God talked to you in person? See, if you have been feeding on the Word of God and what God has done, then when God come and tell you to do something in the now, it's going to be impossible for you to follow. Why? Because you haven't been conditioning your mind. You haven't been conditioning your thoughts. Your imagination is negative. It's what's not going to happen. It's this ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. Instead of you reading about how stuff has been happening. The imagination brings things to life. I don't know if you how powerful imagination is. You know, one of the most powerful ways to imagine is through dreams. I don't know if you ever had one of them dreams where you're running toward a cliff and you don't want to jump off and you're trying to stop yourself and you jump off the cliff anyway. What at the power and what happens? What happens is you feel all the feelings of like being on a roller coaster. You're falling. That's how real your imagination is. Your imagination can be so real that you can actually live in the present moment what God wants to do with you in the future. But that doesn't come overnight. It comes by you meditating the Word of God, you being able to sit and be able to imagine what God doing for you. Imagine yourself sitting in the house you want to be. Imagine yourself doing what God has called you to do. Imagine yourself doing those things so that now when God speaks to you, you're more apt to do it. Your imagination is a powerful key to accessing the power of God to heal, bless, and deliver. Every miracle that Jesus performed didn't surprise him at all. Why? Because he had already seen himself doing it. How I know? John the 6th chapter. Turn now. John the 6th chapter. John the 6th chapter, verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to what? Prove him. For what? He himself knew what he would do. Jesus was already imagining feeding them people. He already seen what he was going to do. He asked Philip the question to get Philip them on the same page, to get them to exercise their imagination. Because now remember, watch this. Let's go to verse 1. Go to verse 1. After these things went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. So it's not like their mind had not been conditioned. They had already seen Jesus perform miracles already. That's why they followed. That's why the crowd followed him. That's why the disciples followed him. So Jesus was trying to teach them a principle. Jesus said, hey, Philip, where can we go buy bread that all these may eat? For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already imagined, we're going to feed these 5,000 people. We're going to feed these people. And he was trying to get the disciples to teach them a lesson in action, teach them on the spot by experience of how to use their imagination. You're with the miracle worker. You're with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why limit your imagination? Jesus, how we're going to feed them? Well, Jesus, how you want to feed them? What you want to do? We can do this. We can do that. We can go here. We can go there. But watch how Philip, it's amazing how Philip answered him. You can tell that Philip was being sarcastic. He said, watch this in verse 5. He said, be part. When shall we buy bread that all these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip asked him, Jesus, come on now. 200 penny worth is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. His imagination is limited. Why is his imagination limited when he just got through seeing Jesus perform miracles on the disease? His mind was not fertile ground for the incorruptible seed of the word of God to be planted. So Jesus had to drag them along, go make the people sit down. Go make them sit down, bring me the two fishes, bring me the bread, bring it to me, let me bless it. And then he helped their imagination. How did he help their imagination? He let them serve the people so that the food began to multiply right before their very eyes. So Jesus began to help their imagination expand. All before, the imagination became limited when it shouldn't have been limited. Why? Because they had been exposed to miracles. So when you do not allow the word of God to expose you to what God has done and what God is capable of, when God get ready to do something, you will not be ready unless you let him expand your imagination. Our imagination must give us every provision for victory. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, Moses sent out 12 spies. And we know two of them came back with a good report. 10 of them came back with the evil report. That was a test for those leaders. Moses knew exactly who to choose to lead the people because of who came back with the report. Why? God had already spoken. I'm giving y'all this promised land. I'm giving this to you all. So when Moses sent the 12 spies, they should have had that on their mind. Mine should have been fertile. Expansion. So when you go over there, you're not going to see the people. You're going to see the land. 10 went to see, 10 saw the people, 2 saw the land. Joshua was one of the 2. So Moses, you're the one that's going to lead the people. That's why it was easy for Joshua to see, because his imagination had been expanded. The imagination developed and set on the promises of God changes anyone into a champion. The key is to take the time to just sit and imagine. That's the key. You have to take time to sit and imagine. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever situation you're dealing with, whatever your problems you're dealing with, you have to take time and sit and imagine the victory. That's not going to cause the victory, but it's going to position you for the instructions to victory. Once again, your mind becomes fertile soil for God to plant his incorruptible seed. Why is the seed incorruptible? Because it's Hebrews 13 chapter. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. So James 1:5, the Bible says he gives us information liberally. And when he gives it, he will not upbraid it. Otherwise, he won't change. The incorruptible seed is the seed or the set of instructions that God gives you that will cause victory 100% of the time. He cannot give you, God sends the incorruptible seed at any time, but if your ground or your mind is not prepared for it, then it will not take root. Which means it won't, what I mean by won't take root, you will not act on it. Why? Because you have not renewed your mind. You have not made it fertile ground. You have not caused it to be a place where the word of God can take root and cause things to happen. We can go into any situation and take it captive for the Lord because we have already seen the factory in the spirit. We have already seen the victory because we have developed the capacity of our imagination to receive it. All righty, y'all have a good night. See y'all next week.